Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. How are you on this Monday evening, the day after Resurrection Sunday? I hope you all enjoyed your day on yesterday. I did. I stayed home. I stayed inside. And I missed enjoying my family tremendously. I missed it because I didn't want to take a chance on getting anyone sick or anything, because I don't think I'm contagious, but just in case, because I am an essential worker and I am on the front line, mainly on the front line, I did not want to jeopardize my family. So that's what I call loving on your family. Our Monday night blog talk, we are proud to bring our speaker up front a little later on after we do what we need to do to get the program started. So we're going to start off with our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So with that being said, I'm going to see if my co-host is on the line so that she can pray with us and for us. Minister Sheila, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line, but I'm asking to excuse me for tonight because I am at work and I have people about to approach me, and some of them is bosses, so I don't really supposed to be on the phone, but I will be listening. So I'm asking you, would you pray, because I don't want the background conversation to interrupt
okay.
the service.
All right. Okay. All right, so put your phone on mute and we're going to continue on. So with that being said, with Minister Sheila not being able to pray because people will be approaching her, we're going to just go straight into prayer and just do what God told us to do. And we're going to present our speaker on tonight, which is our very own pastor servant, Troy Thomas. So let's start off. Please, while we're praying, pray along with us. Get your Bibles, pen, paper, and even if you have a little miniature recorder, you want to go back and listen to it, or you want to wait till after the program is over about an hour later and listen to it in the archives tonight or whenever. So what we're going to do is just start off with prayer. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to come before you with a full heart and with an open heart to say, Father God, please, we're asking you from the deepest part of our hearts and our soul and spirit to forgive us of any sin we have committed on today and any other day, God, that will bring no respect to the kingdom of God, no respect to you, that will dishonor you in any form, fashion, or way. God, we just ask you to forgive us and to give us a heart, penetrate our heart that we may want to be continually saved each and every day. We will want to know you. We want to grow in you, God. We want to know your word. We want your word to be hidden in our heart that we may not sin against thee. Oh, God, we thank you for what you're doing as a land, God, that you are bringing your people to you. You said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. God, we just ask you right now to put this thing, plant it in our hearts, that even once everything has cleared up and called itself back to normal, God, that we will stay in the abnormal, in the in-normal, not as normal people would be in the day of yesterday or yesteryear, but, God, we will stay in the new place that we found ourselves, seeking you even the more. God, let us be that vessel that you have called us to be. Let us be that intercessor that you have called us to be. God, because we know that nothing is possible without you. Nothing is possible without you, God. But all things are possible with you, O Lord. And we're asking, God, that each and every believer get that in their spirit. Cast down every high imagination. Cast down every spirit of depression. Cast down every spirit of doubt. Because our Father is God and God alone. We look to the hills for which cometh our help, and our help cometh from the Lord. We know who our deliverer is. We know who our healer is. God, put that soul down inside of us, God. For all of those that have lost loved ones, God, we ask you to continually send your angels to them, to minister to them, to send them comfort, to give them comfort, oh God. We just ask you to bless our president, God, we ask you to keep exposing everything and everybody that has not been honest with the people. God, we just ask you to get a hold of each country, each state, city, valley, wherever they are, God, that has knowledge of what's going on, God. We're asking you to expose it, God. We ask you to cover each and every one of the men and women of God on this ministry line, attached to this ministry line, and we just ask you to cover them, give them what's needed at this time, God. But we see the enemy that's trying to sneak in. He thinking he's unaware. We think we don't see him. But, God, we see him trying to sneak in. God, we cancel the debt. What he meant for evil, God, let it be used for your good, oh, Lord. God, we just want you to be God in our lives. We just want you to be God in our family. We want you to be God in our finances. God, we just ask you right now in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know who phone's unmuted, but somebody needs to mute their phone so that we can have a clear line. I'm going to say amen, and I'm going to hand it over to the man of God so that he can do what God has appointed him to do on tonight in Jesus' name. Pastor, are you ready?
I'm on here. Give me a moment. It's probably me that didn't have my phone muted. I thought I muted it, but I didn't. Washing my hands. I do
okay,
apologize.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, let us know when you're ready. So okay, while we're waiting on the pastor to get ready, are you ready, Pastor?
Now, give me two
okay.
minutes. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay. While we're waiting on Pastor to get ready, I just want everybody that's listening in now and that will be listening in later, I just want you to get in your hearts and minds that even right now we're in the house, this is a great time to get to know God, to get to hear his word, to get to try to understand what God is saying to the body of Christ, what God is saying to the people that have not made up their mind to accept him as their Lord and Savior. This is the perfect time for you to Google, for you to get in the Word, for you to study, to find out who God is. You will find out that wherever you make your bed, God will be there. Wherever you decide you want to get to know him, God will be there. People say all the time, oh, I'm going to come to church when I get it right. You don't go out when you get it right. Sometimes you go out just dressed and smelling the way you are. And all the time you're not smelling pleasant. You know, sometimes you're smelling like, oh, Lord, don't you raise your arm. Oh, Lord, don't you open your mouth. But you still go out. You don't have to wait till you get it right to get before God. You don't have to wait till you get it right to get with God. Because once you get with God, God will teach you and show you. In other words, you can be trained how to get it right. Everybody wasn't saved. None of us was born saved. It says we were born in sin and iniquity. So while we understand we was born with sin on us, that we stink in the nostrils of God, just know you will never get it right. Come to God as you are so that he will clean you up and clean you out. He will do what he needs to do because God has use for you. And God will only do what you allow him to do, what you accept him doing. My sister, Apostle Elect Priscilla Kaiser, always said she's going to accept what God allows. And she only going to allow things to happen that God teaches her to accept. And when you get that down in your spirit and you start understanding that God is your beginning and your end, God is your all in all, once you get that in God, not in God's hands, but once you give yourself and your situation in God's hands, you're going to understand everything. Every day is not going to be a bed of roses. Every day is not going to be perfect. But you can stay perfectly in the place of giving it to Jesus. You can stay perfectly in the place of repenting. You can stay perfectly in the place of giving God the praise, the glory, and the honor. Once you understand that God does everything for a reason, because sometimes it's only a test to see if you're going to keep trusting him, depending on him, and stand before him. Pass the test, people. Get in the Word of God and study that book like you're studying for a test, because what we're going through right now is a test. And what is your testimony going to say at the end of the test? So we're going to just hold on and wait for the pastor and just be blessed on tonight. I hope you are, because I know I'm going to be blessed on tonight.
I'm ready.
Okay, pastor, is in your hands. Are you Facebook Living?
I am. I haven't started yet, but I'm about to start. I just want to talk to you guys for a minute
okay.
before I start Facebook Live. Give me a moment. I'm
okay.
going to try to do it from my iPad tonight and then, you know, talk with you guys from my phone so you can hear me a little better.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have Wi-Fi in my house previously, but thank God for the Wi-Fi, as they say. Thank God for the Wi-Fi that is now available. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to talk tonight, and when I talk tonight, I'm going to be a little more natural in my conversation than I will be spiritual, only because we are so deep and spiritual that our natural is lacking in places. You know what I'm saying? Common sense, love for our fellow man, love for each other, holding on to some things. Don't get me wrong. Who I am and who God has ordained me to be, I can't help but talk about God's word and his goodness at the same time. But I want to talk, and I want you to respond to me on Facebook Live if you can, if you have a question or a comment, because I'm going to talk about relationship. I'm going to talk about relationship versus relationship. And I'm going to add relationship versus religion there as well, because we do things in such a consistent or in a place of routine that we take for granted some things in our life in routine instead of being more conscious of how we do things and where we do things. So I'm just going to give you what God gave me naturally and spiritually. So I just want you guys to be aware of what I'm doing tonight and how I'm doing it. Maybe a little different. So just come along with me. I'm definitely going to read a scripture, but I'm going to do more natural talking than scripture talking. All right? So I am going Facebook Live. As we speak right now, let me know if you can hear me. Let me know if you can see me here on Facebook Live. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? Good to see y'all on here. God bless you. Can you see me? Can you hear me on Facebook Live? Let me know if you can hear me. I'm on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook Live at the same time, hoping that we can get a very good response from those that are on here with us. Let me know if you can hear me. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Minister Sylvia Kaiser, God bless you. Nicole Evans, God bless you. Wonderful. Glad you can hear me. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I want to talk. Thank you for coming on with us. I am on Blog Talk Radio, as I do every second Monday, as well as Kamisha. How you doing? Good to have y'all on here, Chubbs. Nicole, I'm so glad for y'all to be on here with me. I'm going to try not to talk a long time, but I'm going to talk and give you what God has given me and to share with you guys, because I just want to make sure that what I'm doing is what God is asking us to do. You know, at the same time, you don't want to be in our flesh and in our flesh only. Dan, God bless you, Dan Davis. Good to see you, man. I went to high school with Dan. You know, he's always been a real cool, real laid-back kind of guy. I want to talk about relationship versus relationship. It might be a little crazy. Archie, God bless you. Michelle, God bless you. I'm doing good, Dan. How about yourself, man? Thank y'all for coming on, being with me tonight. You can hang on for a little while. And what I want you guys to do here on Facebook tonight is as well, DeMelva, thank you so much. I want you to kind of interact with me. And as I talk, begin to say some things. And if you have some questions, please put your questions at the bottom of the screen. I can answer them the best that I can, naturally and spiritually. So let's say a word of prayer, if you don't mind, y'all. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we glorify you for being the God of our salvation. Father, we thank you that we sit here another day. Father, we thank you that you allow us one more day in your presence, for getting us air to breathe, and Father, get us active of our limbs, and you woke us up this morning, and Father, you gave us up to this time, and we thank you and we're grateful for all that you've done. Now, Father, not that just all that you've done, but all that you're about to do. And Father, we ask you right now to let your revelation glory, let your glory, let your presence be felt at this time and this place, as we begin to admonish the people, as we begin to encourage the people, as we begin to even answer some questions. And, Father, let them be godly questions. Let them be answers that they can take insight and use for later for purposes, Father, for strength, for longevity. Father, and Father, we ask you right now for even your healing power in the situations going on that may be connected to what you have us to say on tonight. And Father, we bind every demon, every devil that try to bring hindrance in any shape, form, or fashion, technology-wise, in the atmosphere. Father, we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing for us in this season, in this place. Father, we might be quarantined, we might be locked in, but Father, we know for a fact that you have our interest in mind, and we're grateful for this. And we give your name the praise and the glory and the honor, which is down and down alone. Father, we want one more thing, Dad. We ask you for forgiveness. If we have said, if we have done anything that was in, that was unpleasing in your sight, if we have offended anybody, Father, we ask you to forgive us. And we thank you for, we know that when you forgive us, that it will never be brought up again as long as we live or exist in this world. For this, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name, for it is so, and so it is. Yes. God bless you once again. Pastor, I call her co-pastor, but First Lady Kimberly Martin is on here. Keisha, good to see you. Danae, Meladone is Erica. Joanne, good to see you. Karen, God bless you. I miss you and my brother church. Love you guys so very much. I want to talk about relationship versus relationship. Hey, Michelle, relationship versus relationship. I also want to kind of add in there relationship versus religion. Relationship versus religion. I want to talk about relationship. Let me get you a definition of relationship. We are oftentimes we get involved in some things and we don't know what we're doing and why we're doing certain things. But we want to make sure that we get the right thing at the right time for the right reason. I want to talk about the relationship versus religion. All right, it says relationship, the way in which two or more concepts, object, or people are connected for the state of being connected. Once again, the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected for the state of being connected. Elder Clifford Davis, God bless you. Sister Porter, Evangelist Porter, we are praying for you and your family and the death of your husband and your kids, Father. We want you to know that God's strength be upon you and that God will give you the peace that you need and that God will bless you and he will comfort you and that he will rock you in the cradle of his arms in this time of struggle. Let me tell you something right now. Don't let the devil repeat to you or remind you of what you did not do, but you did what you could do. And thank God for the opportunity that you had to do what God gave you the opportunity to do. And I speak peace. I speak rest in this grieving season. And I thank God. I ask God for his ministering angels to attach themselves to you, not only to you, but to your children, to your son, to your daughter, to your grandchildren. And that God's glory will give you the peace that you need in this time of struggle, in this time of pain, this time of hurt, in the name of Jesus. Somebody type on there, it is so it is, and it is so for Evangelist Augusta Porter and the Porter family. Once again, let me go back to what I was talking about. I want to talk about the difference between relationship, and religion. All right, so here it is. I want to talk about the fact of that we get involved in relationship. Once again, the definition of relationship is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected or the state of being connected. And so in this manner is what we often do. Let's talk spiritually. We're going to talk natural. Spiritually, so the Bible says this. We're going to go to Romans 10:9. It's a very, 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 very familiar passage of scripture that we all know very well. But this is what they tell us when we give our heart to God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once again, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, unto salvation. I want to talk about how, what we say out our mouth, what we confess, what we agree to. The Bible says it's better for us not to make a vow, but to make a vow and to break that vow. I want to talk about us being able to speak out what we want, how we want it, when we want it, and who we want it from, in a manner in which things are going down. So let's talk about relationship as far as Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the fact that when we give the preacher our hand and we confess with our mouth that we know for a fact and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, that we are now saved. Come on, type on there, I am saved. Don't worry, what's in that red cup? A little ginger ale. I want us to talk about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. We often find ourselves in church, but we have not connected ourselves with the Savior. We come to church because we got used to coming to church because we feel like we need to be in God's house. We like the feeling that church gives us. We like the preacher. We like the singing. We like the connection with the people. But we have the connection with the people. But what kind of connection have we gained with God Himself? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday on yesterday. In other words, we just celebrated that we're saying for a fact that we know that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. If that we know that, since we know that He was raised from the dead, we believe with our heart, and now we believe in our heart. Now we have a connection. Now we have a connection. We have a commitment. Now we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, we should. I'll put it this way. We should have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing I've learned, and I've been in a few relationships, and I'm pretty sure you guys have as well. Some of you guys have. Some of you guys have not. When you deal with a relationship, there are two things that we must put into our relationship. And one thing, and the main thing we should have is, excuse me, communication. Come on, type at the bottom of the screen, communication. Now, let me tell you something. You can talk to a person and talk and talk and talk. And just because you're talking to them does not mean that you are communicating with them. I know a lot of people that talk a whole lot. I mean, they talk a whole lot. Jesus Christ. And it's like, oh, for Heavenly Father, could you ever get to the point? Heavens, Lord. But they think that's communication, and it's not communication. In communication, what happens is it's a dialogue, which means you say something, I listen. Once I'm done listening, you're done talking, then what happens is then I talk and you listen. A lot of times, and what ends up happening is you have people that are talking, and while you're talking, they're thinking about what they're going to say to you when you're done saying what you're saying. Or they're going to talk while you're talking so they don't get an understanding. The Bible says, in all thy getting, to get an understanding. And sometimes we're not talking for understanding purposes. We're just talking so we can just hear ourselves talk, or we can go back and say, well, I said this and thus and so to you concerning this manner. But it's not communication, because in a communication, we might not agree, but the thing is for us to understand what the other person is saying, and that's a part of being in a relationship. How can I connect that with Jesus Christ and the Lord? What happens is when we're talking and we're praying to God, we're saying to God, first of all, we should start off always by saying, Lord, I thank you. Before we ask for anything, before we tell Him about our problems or our issues and what we need from Him and what we got to have and who said this and who said that, how about we say thank you? It's one thing I thank God for my mother for, Lady Trina, was this one thing. Anytime we woke up in the morning, anytime we walked in the house, we had to kiss and hug my mother. Not because, you know what I'm saying, if I may say this, not because it's just some formality, because she wanted us to know the connection that we had with mother and children. It's a connection and a relationship that she had. Not just because I know a lot of people that I grew up wouldn't even know to this day right now, Sheila, Latonya, that what happens is they don't have a relationship with their parents. Now, what I mean by relationship is they took care of them, but the ability to talk to them, to communicate with them, to interact with them, to be able to understand what's going on, why certain things happen, why do they say this, what's the purpose of it, how can we get the best out of this deal or situation, so either we can repeat it to be better or not repeat it so we won't have to deal with this situation once again. So I thank God for my mother, because she taught us that, to hug and kiss us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. I love you. I love you back. These are things that she taught me and my four other siblings that we did every day, on a regular basis, what we had to do with her. My aunties did it. My uncles did it. This is what our family does. We communicate and say, I love you. I appreciate you. Love you much. Praying for you. Whatever the case is. That's what happens in relationship. You communicate. You express your love. You express it far as conversation. You express it as far as your actions. Because, Latonya, if I could tell you all day long that I love you, but if I never show you what I'm talking about, you're looking at me and saying, you're saying a whole lot, Troy, but you ain't showing me nothing. And same thing in our Christian life of today. We're telling God and we're telling people, oh, I love you. Well, the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My mother would tell me all day long, Troy, if you love me, you'll obey me. Your mama will tell you that when you're growing up. I know plenty of mama said, if you love me so much, then you'll do what I tell you to do. Not only will you do what I tell you to do, you'll do what I didn't tell you to do. In other words, you know what you're supposed to do, so do what you're supposed to do without me having to tell you time and time again what you're supposed to do. We knew we had to go. When we came in from Steinman, what we had to do? We had to do our homework, do our chores, clean your room. If you're weak in the kitchen, you do it in the kitchen. Live room down and you vacuum, you dust, you wipe off the table, you take out the garbage. And then sometimes we had to cut the grass, trim the trees, dig all of the leaves out of the gutters, and pick up. We had a big dog, we had to pick up the mess the dog would make, and clean out the garage with my daddy, clean out the basement and things of this sort. These are things that we had to do on a regular basis because that's what we were required to do in Christian life and loving God. There are some requirements that we must do to let God know that we appreciate you, that he woke me up in the morning. He gave me activities of my limbs. He gave me a roof over my head. He gave me food in my refrigerator for me to eat, even in my cabinets. He even gave me money to go to the restaurant when I don't feel like cooking. He also gave me a vehicle that I could get in. It may not be the best vehicle. It may be a couple of years old, but I thank God that I don't have to stand on the bus. And guess what? If I do have to stand on the bus, I thank God that I got the venture card that I need. I got the money to put on the venture card so that I can get to work and pay my bills. If I'm unemployed, the fact that God is sustaining me and the pandemic that's going on right now, God is sustaining the majority of us. How many of y'all God is sustaining? Come on, raise your hand. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I thank you for sustaining me through this pandemic. He is keeping you because he loves you. And he just wants to know if you love him back. If you have a relationship in our natural relationship. When I loved that woman, when I loved her, Pastor Sean, Pastor Burns, when I loved that woman, what I would do was I would tell her how much I love her. I would show her to the best of my ability how much I love her. She didn't have to wonder. She didn't have to guess, because I tried my best to show her, not just through conversation, but through my actions. Once again, if you love God like you say you love him, why did we have to tell you before the pandemic even happened to come on in God's house? Why did we have to tell you it's time to give so that the house can be taken care of? You have to pay bills in your house. The people, the men and women of God, have to pay bills in the ministry. There's a light bill. There's a gas bill. The church might be tax-free, but guess what happens, Tish? You still have to pay the insurance in case something happened in the church. And if you have musicians, you have to pay and give the musicians a little something for helping you out. There are offices in the church, and guess what happens, too? You want to be a blessing to your pastor. You want to be a blessing to your leader. And whether it's once a month or whatever the case is, you want to show forth a monetary gift if you can to show your appreciation. These are things that God would have us to do to show forth his glory. If we love him, we'll tell somebody just how good God is. will tell them, Pastor Burns, that I was a crackhead. I was on drugs. I was selling my body. I was doing crazy stuff to get the drugs. But God kept me. I was put in dangerous situations, but yet and still, I'm still here because of the love and the grace of God. I want to tell you how I was in it, but God brought me out. Because of the relationship that I have with the Most High God himself. In that same relationship, when that's spiritual, let's go back naturally. When your husband come home, if you love him like you say you love him, it's your delight to do what he like. You might not be as good as cook as he is. He might not want you to cook, but you're a better cleaner. Then the house is clean. The kids ain't bugging them, and vice versa. If you sit at home as a man, when your wife come home, you ain't got no job, you should have the house clean. Bam. No, you should have the house clean. The kids' homework, you should be doing it, unless, you know, you can't do it and you wait for the wife to get home to do it. But the fact of the matter is, if you have that ability and you love your wife, you should take the burden off her as much as you can, and vice versa. We are no longer twain, but now one, which means you're not individual. You're now banded together through God, through Jesus Christ. And guess what? You come together to make the best of what's happening right now. That's your natural relationship. And I'm telling you one more thing, then I'm going to move on to my next segment. In a relationship, when I love God anywhere that I am, hallelujah, praise your name. Come on, lift your hands and tell God thank you. No matter where I am, Sheila, Trina, Sarita, Tequinta, George, it doesn't matter where I am, I can lift my hands and give God praise. I ain't got to go and come back. I can just walk and say, Lord, I thank you. I can't tell you how many times I've been walking through the job. And guess what? I just couldn't help myself. I just want to tell God, thank you for being good to me. I can't tell you how many times I was driving down the road and I just began to think about what God had done for me. I just want to tell him thank you because I left him. I love him. I left him. Let me tell you something. When you can walk into a room with a man and a woman that really love each other, commission, and you don't have to say a word about how much you love him or how much you love her, your countenance, your face, when she walking, you be like, girl, your face saying, girl, you better watch out there now. When he walk in the room, your countenance, your body language just said, that man sure is fine. I sure love me some him. Because of how much your heart is connected with that person. There's a songwriter says, you don't have to say a word. Oh, my God, let's bend my head. I think it was Teddy Riley. You don't have to say a word, just smile. No, it was Gerald LaVert. Just smile for me. because you love him just that much. That it's not so much what you have to say, because your conscience shows everything. If I never say a word, my actions will show you who I love, why I love them, and the whole nine yards, and vice versa. Let me segue to the other part I want to go to. I want to talk about individually. I want to talk about accountability and responsibility. Somebody type on the bottom of the screen, accountability and responsibility. My November brother on here with me. Ernest Sanders. We went to high school together again. The streaks. Accountability and responsibility. Now, I want to talk natural for. I'm just going to talk natural right here. I want to talk about what in our relationship. Please ask some questions. Give some response to what I'm about to say. We go through life not accepting accountability or responsibility. We tend to want everybody else to accept what we had, what we accepted and what we did. What do you mean, Pastor Troy? This is what I mean. I mean by when there is a failed marriage or relationship, what happens is people tend to point the finger at the other person about what they did do, what they didn't do, what they meant, how they meant, and how it hurt us. Can I get an amen about that? Can I get an amen how we tend to naturally on a regular basis and what we tend to do is point our finger at the person that we were in relationship with. How many times have you looked in the mirror? How many times have you listened? Have you looked back on every individual that you've come in contact with, and how, in some shape, form, or fashion, that it was not successful? And every time it was not successful, did we blame the other person? Did we tell what the person did to us? Did we say how they treated us, what they said, what they did outside of us, and who they did it with? Did you go on their Facebook page? Did you break into their inbox? Did you break into their phone to find out what you believed they was doing and what you? Hey, the Lord let me find it. Nah, the Lord let you find nothing. You weren't looking. The Lord didn't let you find nothing. I'm gonna tell you something I know for a fact. Whatever God wants you to find, you'll find it without even go looking. It'll be just like this here. Bam, there you go. The Lord had me go look. The Lord didn't have you go look for nothing. Your mind and your insecurities, your previous hurts, your previous pains had you go looking in your husband or boyfriend phone, or your wife phone, your girlfriend phone, violating their privacy, because you figured you was right. My mother said this a long time ago, and she said this at a woman's retreat and women's service, and everybody got quiet. When I say got quiet, I mean got quiet. What happened is, she said, when you go looking in your husband's pocket, you go look at his email address, and when you go looking at his phone and all them social media, she say, the devil going to make sure what you're looking for, you're going to find. And then she said, not only that, she said, the fact of the matter is, she said, Elder Moore, God bless you, man. I love you, bro. Not only is the devil going to make sure you find it, she says that your mind is already convinced you what you're going to find. It could be absolutely, positively nothing. I mean, it could be nothing. But because your mind has told you that it is what it is, that's what you've seen. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So because you thought it, and now that you convinced yourself what you thought it is the truth, then it has become 100% the truth. God bless you, Prophet Williams. It has become the truth. Once again, I said this before last week, and I want to say it again. There have been times, and medically, and it is proven that a woman had believed that she was pregnant. She said that she was pregnant, and she convinced herself, by all means, she was expecting a baby. So now that her mind has convinced her that she is pregnant, now her body begins to line up with her mind had said. So now she's starting to have morning sickness, Prophet Jeffrey. She's starting to have, she feel like her insides is shifting. She's gaining weight. Not only is she gaining weight, she's now craving these extra cravings now, because she has convinced herself, Minister Rogers, that she's expecting a child. Now, mind you, there's no seed that has been planted. There's no egg that has been fertilized. There has been no confirmation by the doctor that she is expecting a baby. But her mind has told her this is what it is. So now that she has convinced herself, her mind says she's pregnant and she's expecting. Her breast is feeling tender and blah, 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 blah. And then she needs some prenatal pills. And she's going to buy maternity clothes. And her body is lining up with a pregnant woman. But the truth of the matter is, there is no conception on the inside of her. But her mind has convinced her it is so. So when you have been going looking for your husband or wife that you feel like is cheating on you, or have done you so wrong, or he smiled too long, or she smiled too long, or he is too friendly, or she is too friendly, too many people know them, or blah, 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 that you allow the devil to come into your mind and run rapid through your emotions and your feelings, and now you're in a place of turmoil and distress. So now you got to look through their social media. You got to look through their phones. You got to look through their emails. You got to look through their pockets. You got to smell them. You got to sniff them. You got to follow behind them. You got to be, you're angry and you're mad and you're bitter all day long. It's male and female all day long, because you have not taken accountability or responsibility for your part in the previous relationships that did not work. I'm going to say this once again. I asked God, I said, God, these women around me are all crazy. Yes, I did. I told them. I said, Lord, these females is K, not C, K-R-A-Z-Y, crazy, crazy. Not crazy, but crazy, Jeffrey. And you know what God told me? He said, my son, my child, the common denominator in all of these women is Troy Thomas. Yes, it is. Lady Deidre Atkins, God told me the common denominator in the women that you have been connected with and you have bound yourself to is you, my brother. But we have had to take that accountability and that responsibility because it was me. Come on, do me a favor and say it was me. Keisha, come on. They ain't trying to talk to me right now, Deidre. Renee, they ain't trying to talk to me. Just say it was me. It was me that was in the midst of every relationship that failed. It was me. So, Lord, if it was me, what is it about me? What is it on the inside of me that keeps me in this place where I am unsuccessful in relationship? Let me tell you something right now. I want to point this out, that if you are Christians and you are, say, you saved and sanctified and all this and you in your church, I want to point something out to you. And you, maybe you never looked at it this way, Kimberly Johnson, but let me point this out right here. Your spiritual relationship, a mirror of your natural relationship. And your natural relationship is a mirror of your spiritual relationship. What I mean by that is you can't tell me that your spiritual is, oh, the Lord is going to make a way in the and you go home and your house there. Your bills ain't paid. Your house in disarray. But you can pray the house down. You can, I'm sorry, you can shout on that in the hundred. You got all that going on. But your natural life is in disarray. Let's switch it around. You thought your natural life is so perfect and you got it all because you got OCD, you got everything but your spiritual life is, you can't pray yourself in a paper bag or pray yourself out of a paper bag. So the fact of the matter is we have to be careful what we do, Pastor Murphy, what we do, how we do it, who we do it with. We have to look in the mirror and say, it's me. Somebody say, it is me. It is me. It is me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer, not my mother, not my sister, but it is me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me that needs a connection on a daily basis. Once again, I want to stay natural right here. I keep going back, but this is just who I am. When have you taken accountability, Pastor Murphy? I asked him, when have you taken accountability in all of your failed relationships? This has been a consistent thing in your life that your relationships are not successful. We are acting like Adam and Eve, blaming the snake and the serpent when it was you. We get married to people. We get a relationship with people and because we love them. We want to be a part. They look, ooh, she's just so fine and she's so beautiful. And, ooh, Lord, he is gorgeous. Look at him, girl. Look at him. Woo! But then we get attached to them, and then we want to bring God in after the fact. Somebody holler, after the fact. We want to bring God in after the fact. Old people call it putting the cart before the horse. Hey, have you ever seen anybody take some peanut butter and jelly, right? Peanut butter and jelly go on the inside, right? But no, what we're doing, we're putting the peanut butter and jelly on the outside, putting the bread in the middle of it. The bread touches each other, the plain bread touches each other, but the peanut butter and the jelly is on the outside. So then when we eat it, it's sticky. Pastor John, we have to admit that it is us that has been the issue in our own life. My father said it. And he said day after day and time after time, it's not the enemy, it's the inner me. Come on, one more time. Get an app with me and say, it's the inner me. I-N-N-E-R-M-E. It's the inner me that needs to be free. I talked too much. I nagged my husband and I because of my mistrust previously for me meeting him, that he had to bear the brunt of what happened to me before I met him, and vice versa. It was, my wife was wonderful to me, but I couldn't accept the love that she had for me because I had been so damaged by some other females and let some things happen in my life that I didn't have the capacity to accept the love that the woman was trying to give me, and all she wanted to do was wrap her arms and her heart around me and trust and believe in me. My Lord, today. So the fact of the matter is we have to get those things out of us that find us attracted to stuff and to people that will not bring success to our lives. That's relationship. If we have a relationship with ourselves, you know what I'm saying? I ain't say relations with yourself. I said relationship with yourself. In other words, you got to get to know who you are, who God ordained for you to be in this season, in this place, in this year, in this time, in this region, in this world, men and women of God. I just want to let you know that you have the capacity, you have the authority, you have all the strength that you need. God has put everything down on the inside of you, but it's time for you to get those things out because there's no room for God to really put on the inside of you until you're empty out. Come on, one more time, say, empty me out, Lord. Empty me out. Cleanse me out. Purify me. Sanctify me. It's Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I got happy. Yes, I did. I got happy. I just want to talk. I got happy. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I want to know. God bless you, Evangelist Cuffy. Love you so very much. Sister Guiden, God bless you. I want to encourage you to take responsibility for you. It was me that was picking these particular women. It was me that was touching and agreeing to touch. Once again, it was me that was touching the women and touching and agreeing to touch. That was nobody else's fault. That was all on me. So then when things went awry, Toya, when things did not work, Lady Atkins, then it was my fault. But I didn't want to accept the responsibility of what was going wrong because it's easier to blame somebody else. Once again, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think that you're always right and you're never wrong, you're wrong already. I'm going to take a sip of my ginger ale on that one. I'm going to say it one more time. Champion, I'm going to say it one more time. Here it is. If you think that you're always right and you ain't never wrong, you're already wrong as it is. Jesus said, there is none in this world that's perfect but one. Once again, Jesus said, there is none perfect in this world but one. And guess what he wasn't talking about? He was not talking about himself. He was talking about God, the Father, which is the perfect one, which is the creator of all things living, which is the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's who he was speaking about. So if you walk around thinking that you're always right and that you're never wrong, you're already wrong in the first place. I don't know about you, Tiff, but guess what I've done? I've met some people that don't never think they're wrong. They won't apologize. They won't humble themselves. They won't swallow their ego or their pride. They walk around as if they got all everything together. Have you ever encountered anybody like that? They cross every T and they dot every I. They are perfect, but their lives are in shambles. Their emotions are in shambles. Their reasoning and their conversation is in shambles, and they think they are all right. And the funny part of it is, Kimberly, is this one thing that you got people around them that's not correcting them. The worst thing to me is to be around people that know you wrong and won't tell you. That's right. I get only in their eyes. I've seen so many people that are going the wrong direction, that are handling things in the wrong manner. When you're handling things in your emotions, you're wrong. Because you know why? Because our emotions have no intelligence. Tammy Nicole, our emotions have no intelligence. Because our emotions are up, Jeffrey, they're down. They're in and they're out. What's the old, the candy bar commercial? Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. So your emotions have no intelligence. So if you are living your life on an emotional roller coaster, you are going to have a roller coaster life. Because you're cool 1 minute and you're not cool another minute. You have an emotional bipolarism going on. You have a spiritual Gemini going on in your life. A spiritual, you know, they say Geminis have a double personality. And I got two of them. Well, I was married one too. I'm going to tell you something right now. What happens is we have a double mentality, a double conversation, a double way of dealing with things. Because we have not yet learned how to accept accountability and responsibility. In relationship, you have to accept accountability and responsibility. Yes, you do. You got to accept it. You have to. If you have been cheating on your wife, even if you have not physically cheated on her, but you have emotionally cheated on her, you have to then come back and repent. Come on, type on the screen, repent. You have to repent. You have to apologize. You have to say, I'm sorry. You have to admit what you did. Now, don't give full details, because that might get you in worse trouble. But you have to admit that I was wrong, Evangelist Cuffy. I should have talked to her. I should have gave her my phone number. I should have let her send me no pictures. I should have said nothing to this woman, because I am a married man. I made a commitment not only to you, my wife, to my family, but to God Almighty. So I'm repenting not only to God, I'm repenting to you. I'm sorry. You might have to work a little harder so that she can be put back in the position where she can trust you again, so she can believe in you again. Because your job is to protect. Your job is to provide. Your job is to take accountability to protect every aspect of the house. And you are supposed to connect with God so then God can connect with you, so that your household can be connected with God himself. I feel preached in my mind and in my spirit, but I'm just talking. Even as a woman, if your husband, let me tell you something, if your husband has came back and repented, give him the opportunity to make it better. Well, give him the opportunity to make it better. You cannot keep dwelling in the same place expecting a different result. The definition of insanity, Keith, it says doing the same thing expecting something different. You're not going to get something different while you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. If the man asks you for forgiveness, then why don't you forgive him? If you don't want to forgive them, then don't forgive them and move on. But don't stay in the midst of it and make both of y'all lives miserable. Woo! Pastor Murphy, you know what I'm talking about, right? What happens is we say we forgive, but we don't forget. We say we forgive, but we don't forget. That's not male or female. That's collective people as a whole. If I ask you for forgiveness and you accept my apology and you say you forgive me, we should never talk about this again. Well, how is that possible? Well, if we say we are Christians, which means we are being Christ-like and we are kingdom people, I believe the word of God says when we ask God for forgiveness, that he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. With other words, he means, well, once you come to me and you apologize and I give you my forgiveness and I say, don't worry about it, my son, my daughter, then I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to hang it over your head. I'm not going to use it at my leisure whenever you make me mad or I feel some kind of way, because I'll be able to keep talking in my head like it just happened all over again. Everything I see reminds me of what you did and how you did it. But if we are mimicking who our Father is, we must begin to walk in the way that he showed us. So if he showed us that he can forgive us and don't bring it back up, you should be trying to do the same thing in your house with your kids, with your husband, with your wife, with your mama, with your daddy, with your uncle, with your sister, with your brother, with your boss, with your supervisor, with your co-workers. If you forgive, then come on and forgive. We say we forgive him, but we're not really forgiving. We're just tucking it away, Lady Deidre, so that we can use it later on at our leisure if they make us mad. But if somebody view us the same way, then we feel some kind of way, Evangelist Cuffy. Why you keep bringing up my past? Well, you bring it up mine. So we just go back and forth bringing up past situations, Ella, and we never get clear. We never get free. We never get delivered. We never learn how to accept love because we're steady punching each other with what we've done before. My Lord, today. My God, today. This is what happened in relationship. I have to love you enough to let go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have to love you enough to let go. God loved us. He loved us enough, Pastor Murphy, to let go. Oh, bless it. I feel a dance in my foot. He loved me enough to let it go. Whoa, Lord. God loved us enough to let it go. Come on, do me one more favor. Type on the screen, I got to love me enough to let it go. Hold on, I got to do a dance. Let's give me, I got to do it. I got to love me enough to let it go. Give that big time, make me have church here by myself. I have to love me enough to let it go. Lady D, that's why you have to love you beyond your stuff. Come on, y'all. Come on, talk back to me. Come on, talk back to me. I have to love me enough to let it go. Because God loved me enough to let it go. My baby girl, she sings, Frozen. Ready, go, ready, go, let it go. She can't say her answer. So she says, ready, go. I have to love me enough to let it go. Because if I don't love me enough to let it go, then I drag it along. And it's not hurting the person. It's hurting me. It's slowing me down. I'm dragging the garbage around. I'm not free. I'm bound. I'm being tormented by what I won't let go of. So I have to love me enough to let it go. Madeline, you know what I'm talking about? I have to love me enough to let it go. That's what relationship is about. Uh-huh. If I forgive you, then I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to keep talking about it. I'm going to keep throwing it in your face when I feel like it because I haven't really let it go. But that pressure is all on you. We don't let it go. Accountability, my responsibility. In my mind, in my heart, I got to change my mentality. I got to change. We have to change even the people that we're hanging around. That's why they ran this company. Get out of bondage and free yourself. The songwriter said, I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. I'm no longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. Pastor Jones, we have to let these things go because they have been holding on to us. They have kept us bound. They have kept us in a position that we could not succeed. We cannot go forward because of what is on the inside of us. There's no room to pour love in us. There's no room to pour peace in us. There's no room to pour joy in us because we have not, that's why giant pastor, I call you Pastor Cuffy, we have not accepted accountability and the responsibility for our part and our position and what we're going. Baby Agnes says, and they have to love you enough to let it go. After the apology and the changed behavior, we should have a fresh start. That's right. The fresh start is when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, then we are now saved. That's the fresh start. That's forgiveness to the highest level that we could give. That's agape love. I've encountered some people that did not know how to accept the love that I was put down, that was trained to put down on the inside of me. Because their definition of love, because what they seen and what was happening in their life was something totally different from what I was shown, what I was trained to do. So now, we talked about relationship when it comes to Jesus Christ. We talked about relationship when it comes to ourselves. I just want to say this last point. I want to be done with this. I'm going to be done, I promise you. Is that I want to talk about religion and relationship. What happens is this. We believe religion is relationship, but it's not. Religion is just a consistent duty unconsciously that we do on a regular basis. What happens is we, in our marriages and our relationships, we've brought religion instead of relationship. Do me one more favor. Type at the bottom of the screen if you want to. Hey, Auntie Sam, Let's type at the bottom of the screen for me. Type religion versus relationship. Come on, everybody that's on here with me right now, type at the bottom of the screen, religion versus relationship. I'll give you the difference, and I'm going to be done. I thank y'all for being on here. I'm so glad that y'all came on here with me and sat with me and talked with me and listened to what God has given me to talk to you guys about, and y'all had some great response. So come on, respond back to me if you're enjoying this. This is that's okay. It's okay that you're in mourning for your mom. That's totally different. That's totally different. Religion versus relationship. Mm-hmm. What I want to show you is religion. This is religious type of situation. You go in God's house and you sit on the same seat every Sunday. You do the same thing, the same routine, the same thing every Sunday, and there's no change in your life. You went to church. You got there. You gave your tithes and your offering. You shook the pastor's hand. You spoke to everybody. But you didn't leave out the house, God's house, different from when you walked in there. That's religion. In your relationship, you put religion in there instead of relationship. In your natural relationship, this is what happens. You naturally, you get up, you get everybody up in the morning. Get them out to the door. Once you get them out the door, you fix their breakfast, their lunch, whatever your routine is. Religion is your routine. Thank you, Lord. Your religion is your routine. You do this unconsciously, consistently, on a daily basis, and bam, there it is. Good morning, babe. Yeah, all right. How's your day at work? You don't, no dialogue, no communication, no connection. In relationship, there is a connection. Somebody holler connection. Once again, let me get this definition for you one more time. The definition of relationship is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. Let's flip it over from out of religion into relationship. I've been talking too long. I've been on here a lot longer than I want to be on here, so I'm just going to end this way. That's why, Demel, it's a habitual thing that you don't have to think about. It just happens the way it happens because you are in a religious routine. You are in a religious type of connect thing. A relationship is a connection. If I plug this phone in into the wall, that's connection. You have to plug into the power source in order for the phone to work. To get the power that you need, you got to pour, connect into the power source. Thank you, Father. I thank you.
Did Blog Talk shut off on its own? Was it still on?
I don't know. I just can't hear nothing.
Well, we're going to just, I guess, go on and have to end Blog Talk because Pastor's still on Facebook talking, but Blog Talk is what silent. We want to say thank you all for joining in on tonight. We want to let you all know that the word was an awesome word on tonight and that I just thank God that we had a chance to talk about relationship versus religion. Please make sure you have a relationship with God as you study to be in the religion of being a Christian. Know that God is God. God makes no mistakes. Know that we will be back here on Friday evening with Facebook Live with myself, your host, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be back here for Blog Talk on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Time and 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and know that we will also continue to pray for you and your family and your loved ones and continue to pray that God use you all in a miraculous way to make sure that he's getting the glory out of everything we're doing. We want to say to you all, don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You all, don't forget to come back within an hour. You can listen to the program all over again. And we just want you all to know we love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you could do about it. Amen. So good night, everyone.
And the problem is we have to get in our condition.